information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. This is Up North News Radio. Here's Pat Kreitlow.
And welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. It is Wednesday, May 31st, and coming up this hour, the reality versus the rhetoric when it comes to supporting our veterans. Ben Murray will be my guest at the bottom of the hour. Then Todd Alba before we wrap things up as we update some big changes coming next week as Civic Media grows the radio network and its lineup of shows. In fact, I'll have more to say about that in just a moment here. First, the usual reminder that our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. If you have any comments about things that we're talking about in the news today, any questions that you want to ask or get something off your chest. If you missed us in the last hour, we did our weekly climate check with Melissa Baldoff, but along with talking about the ice cover on the Great Lakes, how low it was this past winter and its impact, we got into other topics as well. And if you missed it, you can catch the show anytime by subscribing to us as a podcast. Apple, Spotify, all the usual places have us. And so does the Civic Media website. That's civicmedia.us. And if you head over there, you can click on any of the shows that are produced right here in Wisconsin. And you can subscribe to each hour's program as a different episode of a podcast. So you can, you know, listen one at a time, or you can pick up a show or get that you might have missed. We would love to have you along. And it's to that end that I thought I would bring up the an article that was in Politico yesterday. Now, again, Politico is one of those inside baseball newspapers specifically tailored for political junkies like me. So if I'm passing along something to you, it's because it's got some kind of Wisconsin relevance, not that you're necessarily going to see it, but it does tell you about, you know, what the national media is covering. And one of the new articles in Politico is about Wisconsin and what it has done over the past many statewide races. Now, I don't have the statistic in front of me, but it's something like 15 out of the past 20 statewide races have been won by Democrats. And people would think that, you know, Wisconsin might be a Republican state because Republicans have dominated the state legislature for so long. But that's not the case. Republicans came in office in 2010 in the Tea Party year, gerrymandered the state. The U.S. Supreme Court basically failed to recognize the, you know, the corrupt maps that they were, have let them stay in place. A right-wing state Supreme Court then locked them in for another decade, and that's how we're here. But when you ask voters on a statewide basis where they stand on issues, as they showed in the midterms back in November, and as they showed this past April, they are by and large still progressive in their values. You know, there are some exceptions, you know, Ron Johnson needing billionaires to ride to his rescue with some incredibly racist ads to help Ron Johnson win a very narrow victory. But otherwise, Republicans continue losing statewide. And this article in Politico is a bit about that. And by and large, it was the point that I've been making since the Dobbs decision just about a year ago. That when you do something as extreme as repealing abortion rights in Roe v. Wade, you've now created something that it's not a political topic that will exist perpetually. It's a personal topic that will exist perpetually at election time until something is fixed about that. And the political article, you know, talks about the ways that Republicans recognize this, but that far too many people in the Republican base are still at the extreme position on abortion and will not let their party tack back toward the center. Now, legislators yesterday introduced a new package of bills meant to put some kind of a moderate face on their abortion position. But the bills themselves don't go nearly far enough to get the party out of the extremes. One of the bills carves out specific medical procedures that would no longer be covered under the state's archaic and draconian 1849 abortion ban. But the point needs to be made, why are state legislators making the decision about specific medical procedures that do or don't qualify as abortion under a ban that is 174 years old. Those are things that should be done between a doctor or other provider and their patient, because technology changes, the gestational age of viability of a pregnancy changes. And so that part is not necessary. Another bill introduced yesterday that is not necessary would be essentially a $1 million payout every year to an anti-abortion group to fund so-called, you know, pregnancy counseling centers or crisis pregnancy centers. And they're not actual medical centers. They don't have to abide by federal HIPAA guidelines on patient confidentiality and privacy. They don't tell you the full picture of what's available for your health care. In some cases, they make up or purposefully lie about information, anything possible to steer people away from knowing that they have certain health care rights related to abortion. But again, forcing state taxpayers to pay for these crisis pregnancy centers, you know, is not going to help you look any more moderate. And then one other note about the Politico article is that somewhere in the middle of it, it talks about the civic media radio stations and the growth of the network, because, again, there is that audience there in Wisconsin, throughout the state, the people who do not have extreme views and do not wish to hear extreme right-wing talk as about their only choice on the radio dial in large chunks of Wisconsin. An update on your weatherology forecast is coming up next on Up North News Radio for this Wednesday.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock
around.
That's right.
On top.
It's tricky. It's the tight.
Here we go.
It's tricky to rock around. To rock around.
Again, if you missed it earlier, Daryl DMC McDaniels from Run DMC, it's his birthday today. He is 59 years old. Brewers are north of the border, and they lost to Toronto 7-2 last night. One bright spot was William Contreras hitting a two-run home run. There was also the first ever big league start for Brewers shortstop Andrew Monasterio, who's in the big leagues after playing in the minors for 9 seasons, 680 minor league games. He got his call up and was on the field yesterday on his 26th birthday and picked up a single in the second for his first ever major league hit. The Brewers will play again this evening and try to get back on track against Toronto. Jennifer Wojcicki is up here next from Weatherology to give us a forecast that I can't describe in any other way as just so gorgeous. It's warm, I mean borderline hot, but you know the windows are open. It's not quite at the point where we need the air conditioning. I'm doing the show in shorts for the first time. I know, too much information, but this is just, it's great. We're going to really need the precipitation at some point, but this has been just a glorious few days, and Jennifer's going to update the full state forecast for us now. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, and like you said, we definitely could use the moisture, and it does look kind of a on and off again chance here throughout the state, throughout the rest of the week ahead, really. Looks like above average temperatures for everyone today. A warm front pushes through, and we'll see highs in the upper 80s around Madison and Waukesha, up to central Wisconsin. A little cooler in the low 80s, Oshkosh down to Milwaukee, and the mid 80s in the west central Wisconsin, with some 90-degree weather around Richland Center. Slight chance for showers and storms this afternoon in the south and around Amory and Baldwin, then a chance for that coming in tonight around Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids, dry around Richland Center throughout the day. Not looking at much of a change for highs tomorrow. Looks like mid to upper 80s for most tomorrow. Again, 90-degree weather around southwestern Wisconsin. Chance for showers and storms across the board, mainly in the afternoon hours. Essentially a similar day on Friday. Mid to upper 80s, a little cooler around Lake Michigan, 90s by Richland Center. Chance for showers and storms mainly in the afternoon hours. Then for the weekend, it looks like dry from Oshkosh to the southern parts of the state with sunshine both Saturday and Sunday. Pretty decent weekend coming in ahead. Highs in the 80s. Still above average for this time of the year. Most of the state should be around about the mid to low 70s. Slight chance for rain Saturday from Richland Center to central and west central Wisconsin. Then sunny and dry by Sunday, and looking at highs in the upper 80s to the low 90s throughout the weekend.
All right. Still sounding good so far from at least a recreational perspective. Jennifer, thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too.
You can catch our weatherology forecast every morning around 7:15 here on Up North News Radio. Before the break, we were talking about a package of bills that have been introduced by Wisconsin Republicans and the things that it would do. One would be to put in specific medical exemptions to the state's 1849 abortion ban, but keep the abortion ban in place. I mentioned another bill that would mandate state taxpayers handing over $1 million a year to a group that would provide perhaps dozens of grants to various businesses that bill themselves as, you know, pregnancy resource centers or crisis pregnancy centers. There's another bill that would increase the tax exemption that parents can claim for each dependent, as long as you're changing the definition so that it also covers unborn children from the moment an ultrasound detects a heartbeat. That is a very dangerous game that politicians are playing with the definition of personhood. And it also feels kind of cheap when you combine it with tax policy. Now, will any of these bills pass? It's hard to say because, again, these are Republicans that are putting the bills in. But it was also Republicans, including Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who backed legislation that would put in basic exemptions to the state's abortion ban for rape and incest. And yet Republicans in the state Senate say they're not even going to take up the bill, probably because they don't want to feel vulnerable to accusations that they have failed the extremists who make up a part of their base. That's just another side effect of gerrymandered maps in Wisconsin. So look, nobody's stopping Republicans from making an honest and earnest case to women that they should consider abortion alternatives, such as adoption. But it's another matter altogether to use taxpayer funds for misinformation or coercion or tax breaks or veiled attempts at moderating a ban that essentially continues to treat Wisconsin women as wards of the state. And so getting back to the Politico article, the Republicans in the legislature would be doing a huge favor to fellow Republicans everywhere, especially on Election Day, if they would break the chains that bind them to a notion of antiquated government control over women that is well outside the mainstream of where the voters stand. Gary in Sussex has a point of view on some of this discussion. Gary, thanks for calling in. Good morning.
Hey, Pat. I've talked to you a couple of times before, and I do listen to you in the morning. Sometimes I get a chance to call in, sometimes I don't. But, you know, you mentioned about taxpayer money going towards pro-life, anti-abortion, like the way you like to put it, facilities. Now, there's nothing wrong with advising women that there are alternatives to the abortion. They could pay for, give them free ultrasound so they can actually see the baby that's inside growing. And for myself, I'm a born-again Christian, okay? So my line is there's no excuse for an abortion at all, zero, none at all. The only way that if my wife had an ectopic pregnancy that I would, to save her life, even though that both of my wife and the baby would both die, I would obviously choose my wife to live and that we would have to do something like that to, you know, to save my wife's life.
Yeah, let me jump in there, Gary, because I'm not going to disagree with you. I just want to clarify a point here on ectopic pregnancy. When you talk about, you know, that it would cost the baby its life, it always would because, and I'm just explaining this to the listener, there is no medical way for an ectopic pregnancy to succeed. And so you're doing an abortion in that case, not just to save life of the mother, but because that pregnancy was never going to come to term. There was never going to be a baby that survives an ectopic pregnancy. The science may get there someday, but it's not yet. So, Gary, I just wanted to make sure I clarified ectopic. And that's one of the things that's carved out in this Republican bill, again, to be fair, that there are specific procedures that are put in there. And what the Republican authors say is these would be okay as long as they're not done with the intent solely to end the pregnancy or, you know, kill the baby, as you know, others would put it, that if these things are medically necessary for the mother to live, then these are things that would not be covered under the abortion ban. So I just wanted to talk about some of the language in the bill, Gary. So yeah, go ahead and pick up where you were. Thank you.
Okay, just a real fast background on me. I used to be pro-choice. I grew up as a child of a Democratic family, got married, voted for Jimmy Carter, which was the first person I could vote for when I was 18 years old. Then when Ronald Reagan came around, I liked what he had to say, and I switched, along with America. Ronald Reagan, if I remember right, won 49 states. So a lot of people that were Democrats changed over to voted for a Republican. Now, as far as my beliefs, I believe that the Bible said, now, as a Christian, I'm only speaking as a Christian. I'm not telling you what to believe. I'm telling you what I believe. When God talks to Jeremiah, he says, I knew you before you were born. I knew you while you were in the womb. I blessed you and planned, made all your plans for you that were good, not for evil. And this is why you were still in the womb, he says. He planned Jeremiah's life out. So as a Christian myself, there's no way in the world that I'm going to stand in front of God someday and say, I did not fight for these children. Because as a Christian, you have to be pro-life as a Christian, because what it says in the Bible, you know. So that's how I see it. Now, as far as my wife and I am concerned, Julianne and Jessica, two different times I had babies that were born. One was at 4.5 months gestation, and the other one was at 5 months. Julianne, she lived the longest. She lived for an hour and 47 minutes, and she died in my arms. At that point in my life, I realized that these are perfect little human beings. And at she was 5.5 months along, and nowadays they survive, but not 35 years ago. And to me, I realized that these are little human beings. And the question I have for you, Pat, is because of the 1849 law that's in Wisconsin, does the Supreme Court, do they make law or do they interpret the law? Are they going to go out there and say, yes, this 1849 law was written and you can't change it? The legislature has to change it. Or can the Supreme Court come in there and say, nah, we don't like this law. We're going to write new law. We're going to allow abortions up to 15 weeks. That's the question I have for you, Pat.
And it seems that Pat may have muted himself.
Oh, he did, because he was taking notes. Gary, I'm sorry, you still there? Okay. Gary, thank you. For the point is that we can actually bring up something that we talked about in our last hour to answer your question. Part of our system that is the beauty and the curse of the system is that setup of checks and balances. So everything that you just said about how a court interprets the 1849 abortion ban, we also saw come into play with how this current U.S. Supreme Court saw the Clean Water Act of 1972. And what is your definition of the water that can be controlled, protected by the federal government, much like talking about protecting or regulating, you know, individuals' health care? What I'm saying is that we have a system that is, while it's imperfect, it is one that we have given to ourselves, and that we have to sometimes roll with the court cases, and then a legislative body can then come in and fix it further. Let me get back to the abortion question on it. This current ban in 1849 was written in such a way that's rather vague for the times. It uses language that we don't use now. And so a court does have to decide to the extent that it does apply now. The state legislature at any time before all of this or after all this can pass a brand new law that either reaffirms abortion rights or makes an even more stringent abortion ban, which is what we're seeing in some other states right now. So the short answer to your question, Gary, is that we have to let these court cases play out, and then a legislature has to follow up and theoretically abide by the will of their voters. But that's tough to do when the legislature is controlled by a party that does not enjoy majority support of Wisconsin voters, the way that it does when your maps are gerrymandered. Gary, I've left you all of like 15 seconds for a response, and then I got to go to break.
No, I'm just good. I just wanted you to know how the pro-life, born-again Christian, that's what I am, how I look at it. And
I appreciate that very much. And Gary, I'm sorry, because I got to hit the break right on time here. But I do want to come back to that because you have been through, obviously, you've been through something amazingly horrific and life challenging. And I hope you and I get a chance to talk about this and what it's like, you know, 35 years later for parents who also have to go through this. Gary, thank you for the call. Ben Murray is my guest up next. You're on Up North News. Thanks, Gary.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
All right, we're going to be joined by our guest, Ben Murray, in just a moment here. But first, a little note to continue our discussion from our past segment here with Gary in Sussex. Tomorrow is our usual hometown health segment with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who's an OBGYN. At this time tomorrow, her hometown health segment will be about the health benefits of drag shows. And we'll talk more about that tomorrow. But in the lead up to it, I'm going to ask Dr. Lyerly if she can join us earlier, and we'll spend that 7:15 to 7:30 block of time talking a bit more about some of the topics that came up in our last segment, especially crisis pregnancy centers. I did not have time to get into what the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, ACOG, has to say about those. And Kristen is a rather prominent figure in ACOG circles. And so we will continue that discussion. So whether it's Gary or anybody else that would like to call in with questions or comments about it, feel free to do that tomorrow morning. All right, now let's switch gears here and talk to Ben Murray, former Assembly candidate, longtime Navy veteran from the Marinette area. And we're going to be talking a bit about using veterans as political pawns or political footballs. And what you can argue it's inevitable simply because a federal budget is so big, or you can argue that that's one of those things we shouldn't ever be talking about when you're talking about, you know, discretionary spending in a budget. But the point remains, they've been used as pawns far more often than people might think from the party that always talks about how they're all for veterans all the time. So Ben Murray joins us from the Marinette area. Ben, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How are you today?
Good, good. Hey, thanks for being here. When you were running for Assembly in the 36th, which is parts of Marinette, Oconto, Shawnee, Forest, Menominee, and Florence counties, you ran as an independent Democrat. And part of that reason was that there are two things that I know are very near and dear to your heart. Veterans issues and rural Wisconsin. And in both cases, there's really a need to make sure that both parties stay accountable to those areas. As you were watching the debate, or, you know, the extortion racket over the debt ceiling, as I would put it instead, and you saw what was being supported by House Republicans and the cuts that it would have made to veterans' healthcare programs, things like that, what was your whole reaction to how that was playing out?
So up here, we have it pretty good when it comes to VA healthcare and VA access. But that's not the case nationwide. When I lived down in Georgia, it would take 4 months to get a mental health visit at the VA. So watching the Republican Party put up to 22% of VA funding on the chopping block, you know, I don't really have words for how angry that makes me. This is the party that will thank you for your service and say we support veterans and say we can't help anyone as long as there's homeless veterans. But then they go on to, you know, cut funding for veterans, enact policies that make it harder for us to get health care. And to be completely honest, right now, we even have prominent Republicans that are pushing to get us into another war. Senator Lindsey Graham and Representative Dan Crenshaw are talking about military action in Mexico. You know, so they are pro-war, but anti-veteran.
Well, the interesting thing there, too, and you know, this is obviously my point of view, is that I think in your neck of the woods, Congressman Mike Gallagher, a Republican from Green Bay, the noise that he's making about Taiwan and China and the arguments that he's making to rapidly push more weaponry to Taiwan, in my mind, is also rather dangerous rhetoric. Now, you can be a hawk on China, don't get me wrong, but in all of these cases, we've got people pushing for actions that could put Americans in harm's way. So it seems like the very least you can do is not even play budget games when it comes to supporting the military and veterans.
That's right. And Congressman Gallagher, he definitely is a war hawk. His rhetoric on China is getting very nerve-wracking. And I support a strong policy with China. I support increasing manufacturing of microchips so that, God forbid, China invades Taiwan, we don't have to worry about our supply lines. But his policies are, it feels like they're aggravating tensions. It feels like they are stoking the fires of just general aggression with China. And then Congressman Gallagher is someone who voted against a bill that would create a pathway for migrants who serve in the military to gain citizenship. So again, we're seeing the Republicans that they want to send young men and women off to war. And then when they come home, they don't want to take care of them. And I think the truest words about veterans were spoken by Bernie Sanders when he said that if you want to send young men and women to war, taking care of them when they come home is part of the cost.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, it's something we've been saying since, the Gulf War and the invasion of Iraq by the George W. Bush administration, is that you're creating a generation of follow-up care and you'd better be willing to support it. And yet it seemed to me one of the more frustrating moments of 2022 was when Senator Tammy Baldwin and others were working on behalf of the PACT Act, which would assist veterans who were serving near burn pits overseas, and where they have to burn everything where they're at, but the toxic fumes from there were leading veterans to have all kinds of respiratory ailments, and some have died. And yet when the bill came up to take better care of and give the benefit of the doubt to veterans with respiratory illnesses who serve near burn pits, you had senators like Ron Johnson and others who voted to filibuster the bill. When I and others called him out on it and called others out on it, they'd say later on, well, of course we passed for the bill to pass, but it was like, no, wait. You forget that whole filibuster step where you voted to support the filibuster, which would have effectively killed the bill. Technically, yeah, you're not voting against veterans, but yeah, you kind of are. And it's those kinds of games from last year and well beyond that, again, that's what makes people so cynical about which politicians stand with veterans and which ones are just playing games.
So I'm glad you brought up the PACT Act, because after that bill was blocked, the outrage spearheaded by John Stewart and spearheaded by most of America, getting on social media, calling their representatives and publicly shaming them. It took a couple of days and they got back in the Senate and all of a sudden they voted to support the bill. And that is, they never should have blocked it in the first place. I need to be very clear on that. But the fact that a pressure campaign was mounted and very swiftly got action and got response was wonderful to see. Now, again, with the PACT Act, in the Limit, Save, and Grow Act that Congress passed recently, that could have cut 22% from the VA. They recently passed a bill, I forget what they're calling it, but it's a bill that guarantees funding for the VA at 2022 levels. So what that means is that we saw that veterans' benefits were on the chopping block, and we mounted a pressure campaign, and we publicly shamed them, and we got action. Now, the downside of this bill is it does cut the amount funding for the PACT Act. So there's still work to be done. What's really important to note is that, politicians are going to use veterans as pawns. That happens. It's been happening as long as I can remember, as long as I've been paying attention. But we have to call them out on it. When we see that veterans are not being taken care of, be loud, get on social media, call, write, just put pressure on your representatives at the state and federal level, because when a massive pressure campaign comes in to publicly shame these people, it gets results.
We're talking to Ben Murray, who is a Navy veteran, served in the Navy for more than 11 years, 10 submarine deployments. I worked in intelligence gathering, and it's that part. And I'm probably, you know, overstating the case here, but you worked in intelligence gathering, and that is essentially what we're dealing with here in trying to follow both Congress and the legislature. Is you can't just listen to the surface rhetoric. You have to actually do the intelligence gathering of looking specifically at what they're voting on. So let's take that to the state level for a moment. And when legislative Republicans took Governor Evers' budget proposal and, you know, basically ash canned it, they did not take each one of those proposals on their merits and look at them. They just threw it all in the trash and said, well, if we bring something back, we're going to bring it back on our own. That included, if I'm not mistaken, some kind of assistance to needy veterans program from the governor. What can you tell me about that or any other proposals from the governor that would have benefited veterans that at the moment have been zeroed out unless legislative Republicans, you know, out of the goodness of their hearts, decide to bring it back?
So the Assistance to Needy Veterans Program is a state-level grant program that offers up to $3,000 annually or $7,500 lifetime to veterans or spouses and dependents of deployed active duty service members in Wisconsin who need help with medical bills or subsistence. This program was just removed from the budget entirely. So, you know, the VA, I said we have it good up here. The VA does take pretty good care of us, but if you don't have a high enough disability rating, you may not even be eligible for VA care. So you could fall behind on a medical bill, which is really easy to do in this country. And the program to help veterans who need help paying medical bills has just been zeroed out. It's gone. You know, and I think that it was Representative McGuire was talking about less staffing for programs that help homeless veterans in this state, less staffing for programs that help veterans with substance abuse in this state. You know, and these are programs that we have a historic surplus. We have the money. And to witness the Republican Party that will thank you for your service, I've said this before, zero out these bills and leave veterans out to dry is really maddening. There's really not words. And unfortunately, especially up here in these rural areas, a lot of people don't read the votes. They don't read the bill. They read what their representative emails out. And, you know, my representative is Jeffrey Mersaw. He emails out the rosiest of pictures, and, you know, the Republicans can do no wrong in his eyes. And so that's all the people see.
Unfortunately it is. And, you know, there are, but when you get past the caricature of Republicans saying that all Democrats hate America and all that, you'll find that there are Democrats like you who work rather tirelessly to make sure that veterans are taken care of. And for all that we've said about Republicans, there are Republicans who actually, you know, put up when it's time to take care of veterans. The example, of course, that I use is the guy that I beat to get to into the state legislature in 2006, Dave Zien. Dave Zien, politically, he and I could probably not be more polar opposites, but with his service in Vietnam and with my being the son of a longtime Army veteran, you know, there are things that we definitely were on the same page about, like the veterans home down the road from me here in Chippewa Falls, where you work together. And so, Ben, to perhaps end this on a positive note, maybe you can note as well that you have seen examples of elected officials who do show leadership and who do show a spine when it's time to stand up for veterans.
So I've seen, I think actually Congressman Derek Van Orden recently passed a bill that would help secure benefits for dependents of service members who get a dishonorable discharge. Mm-hmm. And I have very mixed emotions about that. I think if you get a dishonorable discharge, maybe you shouldn't get benefits. But on the flip side of that coin, if you screw up, why are your family members paying the bill? So this is one instance where, you know, Congressman Van Orden, I disagree with him the overwhelming majority of the time, but his bill would actually protect veteran dependents. What I would really like to see is more Republicans that are willing to break with the party. You know, if party leadership says,
especially, especially if he would have, if Van Orden had been willing to, you know, vote against the Limit Save Grow Act, which put a lot of those veterans programs, you know, in jeopardy in the first place. But we've been watching Derek Van Orden closely because, again, there are times when he does say the right thing, but we always have to watch for what the inevitable action is. And so we'll continue to do that together with Navy veterans like Ben Murray. Ben, it was great to have you on. It's the first of many, I hope. And thanks so much for making time for us this morning and helping us make sure that we take care of the people who served us.
Oh, anytime. Thank you for having me on. It was great talking to you.
All right. You as well. Have a great day. When we come back, Todd Alba and Melissa Kay. That's all up next as we talk about the growth of civic media. Big changes are coming up Monday of next week. We'll tell you all about it next. You're Up North. Well, one last time, we have to ask Aaron Zommers what he picked for walk-up music for Todd Alba and its significance.
I did Good Times, Bad Times by Led Zeppelin, just because it's the drummer's birthday.
Oh,
or
oh
would have okay. Been.
Having nothing to do with Todd whatsoever. Well,
nope, not this time.
Shows how quickly we're going to start to forget him on this final Up North News radio appearance by him, at least ahead of an 8 o'clock show, because he's going big time. We'll have him explain himself for a moment. But first, we have to make sure to welcome Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. Hello.
Good morning.
Hey, did you know that today is actually Wednesday and not Tuesday of a shortened
no
week?
No way.
No, I know that because I was supposed to connect Melissa an hour ago, like I do every Wednesday, and just forgot it was Wednesday. So thanks for being patient with us.
No worries. It's a messed up week.
It's a messed up week, but it's going to be such a big week next week as civic media grows and brings on new stations in Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, La Crosse, Racine, Kenosha. We're going to talk more about our station in Hayward. It's just amazing, and the shows are just growing. Where do we start? We start with Todd Alba. Here's why. I could tell you what's happening at 6 to 8 in the morning with my show, but it would be that there's exceptions. There's other markets that will be doing other shows. From 8 to 10, there will be like 5 different shows airing across the network. Even as goes Wisconsin, only one of its 2 hours will be on at one of its stations. But Todd Alba, it just says here, Todd Alba, comma, statewide. Nobody is infringing on the Todd Alba show when it moves from 1 to 3 weekday afternoons starting Monday. Aren't you just a big deal?
Why did you put that on the you've got on the video part here going quote
Todd Alba,
big time
going big
on
time.
Us. Yep. That's ridiculous. Yep. I don't know. I show up for work and they tell me when to show up, but I say okay. That's it. You know, so
oh, I'm sorry. Let me change that title to company man. There we go. Okay. Got it. There
company
you go.
Man. No, oh, I just, yeah, I just.
No, look, congratulate. Look, it's a hell of a show. It really is. And oh, folks who aren't listening every day, you need to, you'll now get the chance to because there's no other show that's stepping on it. And if you can't listen live 1 to 3, This is one you need to podcast. You need to subscribe to the podcast to Todd Alba, to Chad Holmes up at Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, and then marginally, you know, dip into this show now and then when, you know, unless you've been awake all night and, you know, still up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Todd, are you changing anything with the show with the move to afternoons?
Not dramatically. I mean, you know, thanks to all of our listeners. Thanks to you for a great lead in, but all of our listeners, I mean, they're the ones that are helping make all this happen. And we're thankful. Just very, very thankful. I'm thankful to be part of a team like Civic Media with you and Melissa and Aaron and all the rest. It makes it and have owners like Sage Weil and Mike Crute. So, to answer your question, the worst thing about going to the afternoon is it turns out Aaron Zommers is not a robot. He's not AI. He can't work 11, 12 hours a day. So he's not going to be a regular producer, although he'll still be involved in the show and help out occasionally. I know. So
taking a sad trombone with him and not right. not taking it seriously. Although you make a great point, and Melissa, maybe back me up on what Todd just said. Part of the reason for his success was a tremendous lead-in program.
Absolutely,
I think maybe this guy goes into the dumpster without me.
I think that's true.
What do you think, Melissa?
It's all over.
Yeah, it's all a part of a team, and there's a working cogs for all of us trying to fit together in the new format. So it'll be interesting to see how it all pans out.
So, Melissa,
Todd, I wish you the best.
Aww. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Melissa, what can you tell us about what's happening with locally grown radio?
Well, we are moving to a morning show on our country station, WIRI, from 7 to 8. And then back to WFHR for our morning show from 8 to 10. And then our morning magazine segment that used to play from 10 to 11 is getting moved after Todd's show. So we get a lead in from 3 to 4.
Okay. So what you're saying is that Up North News Radio, which currently only airs for 4 hours, is going to get both hours from 6 to 8 on locally grown radio, WFHR. There it is. There, it's a big victory for Up North News Radio, soon to be 2 hours in Wisconsin Rapids. Consider Indeed. Yourself warned. Now, on the flip side, Up North News Radio will not be heard in Green Bay, Oshkosh, Racine, and Richland Center, which will have their own local shows. And that's a good thing. That's one of the things we really want to pump up about civic media. More local shows, plus more statewide shows. I mean, this is truly Wisconsin radio. It's made in Wisconsin. It's locally grown. You've heard about the ones that we do now, Chad Holmes and Earl Ingram. But we're adding Stu Daniels, who will be heard in La Crosse, Hayward, Amory, Oshkosh, and Richland Center. We're going to have a new noon news block with Terry Bell, who's going to have news for the first part of the noon hour. And then Luke Mathers and William Walter will have a call-in show for the rest of the noon hour, which I think Todd, Melissa, Aaron, back me up. I think we should all just call in just to harass Luke.
Absolutely.
Because he won't have his talk show. He's going to be moving to the news side of things.
We will
all the calls and sarcasm we can muster.
We'll definitely have that, to. Aaron? We'll definitely have to harass him.
Well, and this is a move back from him, because when I started, he originally was doing news.
The man is the man for all the grief we give him. He is a great news talker. He stays up to date on all these things, and he's going to be, he and William will do a great job over the noon hour after the news from Terry Bell, which, speaking of news, the state news segments from Terry Bell and the rest of the team will expand so that at 8 in the morning and 5 in the evening, you will get these 6-minute blocks of news. And so if you really want to be up to speed on Wisconsin news, you want to be listening to the news team at 8 a.m., the noon hour, and 5 p.m. And then a few more notes about the lineup. Matt Flynn will be on from 3 to 4, except in Amory and Hayward, which will have Matt McNeil, and Wisconsin Rapids will have Rolling with Rapids. Devil's Advocates, of course. Well, it's Crute's show. He's untouchable, folks. He's there from 4 to 6. If there's no Crute, there's no paycheck. There's no us. Maggie Dunn will have a show evenings from 6 to 7 p.m. and then a series of shows at 7 p.m. The Mark Thompson with the Paul Revere show on Monday, Busted Pencils on Tuesday, The Empowered Caregiver Wednesday, Raised in Wisco on Thursday, Pizza Box Mike on Friday. You've got the Rick Smith show at 8 p.m., Native Roots Radio at 10 p.m., the Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens on the weekends, Under the Helmet with Gilbert Brown, Morning Cannolis with Jim Santelli, This Week in Waukesha, Max Inc. Radio, Director's Cut, Over the Back Fence, the Big High School Sports Show. Guys, how do we make time for all of this?
It's a lot.
It's a big network.
It is. And that's the thing. There's all these shows on different networks. And so I can't emphasize enough, get to know the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, so that you don't have to hear me talking over Todd and Melissa all the time. You can hear them on their own shows. But they come and play along with me for about 9 minutes once a week, and I appreciate it so much.
We appreciate you, Pat. You
appreciate you.
I love having you in my sandbox. It's awesome. All right. You guys all have a great day.
Yeah,
you too. See you later.
Too.
All right. I'm going to show up on Todd Alba's show in just a moment on many of these Civic Media radio stations. The rest of you have a wonderful Wednesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow.